I'm on the line with Nick Reese. What's going on, bro?
Hey, man. How you doing today?
I'm well, man. How are you doing?
Good, man. We're out here. Had to drive out to Colorado to help a friend out get his car out here. So it's pretty nice.
Oh, wow. Wait, so you went from Maryland to Colorado?
Yeah.
Damn, man. And are you going back to Maryland now?
Driving back on a Wednesday morning, we're going to drive back.
How long is that drive?
You know what? It's not as bad as you think it is.
You know what? I'm going to probably say it is as bad as I think it is, but how long is
it? it's about 28 hours to where we went.
What are you talking about? It's not as bad as I think it is. That sounds just way more awful than I actually expected. 28 hours?
Yeah, by me, break it up. You know, you do like 14 hours one day, 14 hours the next. Or 12 and 12, depending on how fast you go. But you get to see a lot of the country. It's pretty cool.
You are a beast, bro. That's incredible. That's incredible. Good for you. Well, dude, thank you for having me on your podcast. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks for taking the time to be on it. How are you doing? What are you up to right now?
I'm just chilling, man. Just doing some work. Just basically doing some work. I'm doing some brainstorming for some secret projects that I have going on. A lot of big stuff for the Inner Circle and then a couple other things in the pipeline as well. I'm going to LA as well, and which is why I couldn't do a lot of video just because I'm going to the airport really soon. So I'm hustling around my apartment, but that's pretty much it, man.
Nice, man. That's awesome. Well, we'll jump right into it. I don't want to keep you too long here because I know you're busy. And so I want to talk about today about food addiction. Like last week, started asking my clients, what are some things that I can help them with? And a big thing that came out was food addiction. Instead of having just half the thing of ice cream, you need to eat the whole thing. Or needing to eat a whole bag of chips, or you binge eat, before you get home from work after you're done commuting, or you say no to social situations because you're embarrassed of what you're eating. So I wanted to know, what are some keys that you think would help people fight their food addiction?
Well, that is really, it's a tremendous question. And I'll tell you what, if there was a simple answer to that, then there would be the fitness industry in and of itself would be not as profitable as it is, because unfortunately the fitness industry profits off of food addiction in many ways. It's also food addiction. There's a couple of things to say. Number one, I think the word food addiction gets thrown around a little bit too much, almost like the word depression, right? Some people will mistake feeling sad sometimes for being depressed, and then they'll wrongly throw out that they're depressed when in reality they're not clinically depressed. And in the same way, some people will throw the phrase food addiction around when they have a craving for a food, and they say that they're addicted to that food just because they're having a craving. That's not it. But the thing is, that's what most people actually have. Most people are struggling with cravings, and they're noticing that it's very difficult to break those cravings, to resist them. So they just say that they're addicted to it. And the reason that it's important to bring this up, it's not because of any political correctness. It's because of the mindset. It's a placebo effect is where you think you're taking something that's going to make a difference. And so then you take it, but it's like water. But you see the benefits of it as though it was the medicine. So there's also the reverse, where you think you have something that is bad for you, even though it's just water. And then you get those negative effects because your mind thinks that you have those negative effects. And the mind controls all of this. So someone thinks that they are legitimately addicted, they have legitimate food addiction, all of a sudden they will exhibit behaviors of addictive behaviors, when in reality, it's just not taking a firm stance and being able to say, this is not what I'm going to do. And it's funny because a lot of people will say sugar is addictive. Sugar is not addictive. Like,
no, when was the last time you ate like some sugar packets?
Well,
and couldn't stop.
I mean, sugar is not addictive. It's like a comical joke, but it paints a picture of no one's ever done anything illegal or gone out of their way to get sugar. Like it's not like they're fiending for sugar. They're not like going to like get serious help because they can't stop having sugar. It's right. Just because it's not an addiction. It's they have trouble controlling themselves. And
right.
So now the question becomes, okay, so now that we know you're not actually addicted to it and sugar isn't an addictive substance, now we have to know, okay, so where do we go next? Like, how do we actually attack this? And the reason it's so difficult with food, as we're, like, for example, we want to talk about an addictive substance. We could talk about nicotine. We could talk about like any legitimate drug. You can go cold turkey with nicotine. You could go cold turkey with cocaine. You can go cold turkey with this stuff and never yeah. have to face it again. But food, you will always need to eat. It's always right. going to be in exactly. front of you. You always have to eat. And even if you set yourself up in great environments and you set yourself up in terms of really being in a place that the food is controlled, it's not tons of sweets and cakes and whatever, there will always be times, whether your holiday parties or birthday parties or just when you're out in public, where food will pop up and you are going to have to exhibit self-control or not. And that's where people struggle is when – and usually the struggle usually comes – when there's significant ambiguity, they don't have a definitive plan, right?
Right.
So most people, and that's why hiring a coach is very helpful, because the coach will say, here's your plan. This is what you're following. And when people have, oh, this is what I'm doing. And then they know that that's not on the plan. It's easier to stay away. And there's not that ambiguity of, oh, should I have it? Should I not have it? It's just like, nope, I'm not going to have that because that's not on my plan. And it's easier just to get it away, out of sight, out of mind. When you don't have a plan, and there are many ways to create a plan, it's not just one meal plan, there are many ways. Yeah. When you don't have that plan set in place, it's easier to let yourself be pulled into it and to sort of like convince yourself to have it, because there's nothing, there's no blocker, there's no reason why you shouldn't necessarily, other than like, I know that I shouldn't, but I'm going to anyway. So the best tip that I can give for any type of self-control around food is to first and foremost create bright lines, like these bright line rules, these guidelines that they guide you along the way in terms of knowing exactly what you're going to do. So, for example, let's say you're going to go to a party and you know there's going to be pie and cake and cheesecake and da da da. And you can yeah. create a bright line. And the bright line could be, I'm going to eat a big salad and a bottle of seltzer before I go. And if I'm still hungry, I can allot myself one slice of cake and that is it. Like no more than one. I will allot my one slice of cake and I'm done. I can have one slice and that's it. Or another bright line could be, I will, and this is just ran off the top of my head, but I can have yeah. as much of the one cake that I want. I can choose one cake and have as much as I want, but I can't have any more than one other cake. So that when your choices are reduced, you'll automatically end up eating less. But that's why at buffets we eat like 4, 5, 6, 7 times more calories because there's so many more options. Bright right. line could be, I'm literally just not gonna have any cake at all. Like I'm just not gonna have cake at this party. The actual plan isn't as important as just having a legitimate definitive plan. And once you eliminate the ambiguity of I don't know, should I have it, I want it, I don't want to be left out, or you get rid of that by having a plan, you are way more likely to be successful.
That is awesome. And that goes into, you know, preparation, coaching, and everything. And one thing I want to point out is that it's okay to eat that cake. Like, you know, if you can eat one piece of cake and that's your line, then do it. And then you'll be a lot more successful when, you know, you're going through your journey. And instead of pulling out of those social situations and saying, oh, you know what, I can't go to the cookout because, you know, I'm going to eat everything in sight and then feel bad and people are going to judge me. Nope, just go eat that one piece of cake and then be on with it.
That's exactly right. It's interesting. Everyone's different. There'll be one person who they know in their heart, if they have that one piece of cake, they're going to eat the whole cake, right? So for them, at that moment in their life, it might be better just to say my bright line is I'm not having cake, because in this moment, They might not have enough self-control after eating it to not eat the whole thing, to go on a binge. So like, you know what? I'm just not going to eat it. Later down the road, they might develop enough self-control, ideally, if they're doing things properly, where they can have a slice of cake and not let it lead to a binge. And that's the whole thing about dieting and nutrition. With exercise, we coaches inherently just follow the progressions of exercises. You start with a kettlebell deadlift, and you go to a trap bar deadlift, and you go to this deadlift. And you know, because you have to follow this progression in order to make sure they don't get hurt. With nutrition, a lot of times we forget that, and we try and jump people to the highest level of flexible dieting, strategic dieting, intuitive eating before they've actually developed the skills and the mindset and emotions necessary. And it's sort of like looked down on or frowned upon for doing some of these things. It's like, yo, relax. They're in the process.
Exactly.
Stop judging them. And from there, it's really important to remember, and this is probably one of the most overlooked components, a lot of binging, where like if the person who is about to, who like, I know if I have one slice, I'm going to have the whole thing.
Yeah.
A lot of that is brought on by consciously or unconsciously associating that one bite or slice of cake with failure. Because as soon as you think that you had that one thing and you failed, well, you know what? Might as well just have the whole thing now because I already failed. So when you can understand and internalize that having that one slice of cake is totally fine, it is not a failure, it doesn't screw anything up, and as long as you get right back on track and don't go and have a massive binge, you're going to be good. Once you can internalize that, you will then be able to have less binge eating tendencies and more self-control.
Yes, I love that. I love that. That is amazing. So what I'm going to do too, and what is it, you know, from this podcast, I'm going to write these things out. I'm going to post them. So that way you guys have a little helpful guide to help, you know, so when you're going out to the cookout, you feel okay. When, you know, you're going to go out to dinner, you're going to feel okay. And you're not feeling anxious about what's going to happen. You know, have a clear, defined plan here before it even happens. And then as soon as you're done, you're going to get right back on track. And your results are going to come way know it, enjoying, you know, the food and everything, and yourself be super restrictive and just, you know, keep fighting this battle and keep losing, you know.
100%, man. But dude, thank you for having me on this. I really appreciate it. And I'll put it on my weekly Goodreads as well, because I think it's a really good question, and I think it's very important for people to hear this stuff.
Awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. If you guys aren't following Jordan's site, I'm going to put his stuff in the bio, Instagram, YouTube at Syatt Fitness. Check him out. And he's truly helping.
I love you, man. Seriously, I appreciate you. I love you like family. I hope you know that.
Yes, too, brother. Have fun.
I'll talk to you soon, all right? Drive safe.
Die.